3, Book of Daniel, chapter 3. We're going to read quite a few portions of Scripture tonight. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. But I tell you, the more that you read your Bible, the more all of it becomes familiar to you. And you should be in that book, reading that book. If you're not reading that book, you're not right with God. I don't care what anybody, I don't care how you feel about it. If you're not reading those love letters from heaven, amen, you're not right with God. You see, when we pray, we talk to God. When we read, God talks to us. And you need to be spoken to every single day. You eat every day. And if you read this Bible, you eat every day. Amen. Let's start reading, please, in chapter 3 and verse 1. And Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the dulcimer, or the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king have set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let's go to verse 12. And said, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" What an interesting question. He's about to find out. I like these next three verses. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Hallelujah. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded, watch this, the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Watch now. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What kind of men were those? His most mighty men. Boy, he lost some good men that day because he was stupid. And these three men, verse 23, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I like that story. Amen. I want to preach tonight on what the king saw when he looked into the fiery furnace. What the king saw when he looked into the fiery furnace. I want to get right in the message. I want to say, number one, that the king saw three men who would not compromise. Can I get a good amen? Three men who would not compromise. I personally hate compromise. Amen. I have found out that God never blesses compromise. And I have found out that compromise always brings enslavement. And you know where we compromise the most? Is with our children. When they get to that age, we don't want to hear them whine. We don't want to hear them pout. And so if we're not careful, we give in to their whines. We give in to their pouting so that we might not have a confrontation. And anytime you avoid that and you compromise something that you've stood for years and you let your child do, somewhere along the line, it's going to bring enslavement and God is not going to bless it. If it was wrong 20 years ago, it's still wrong today. Concerning these three boys, now they were in a compromising situation, there's no doubt. I mean, if anyone had could have deserved to compromise, well, it had been these three boys. First reason is because they was in a foreign land. They were in Babylon. They weren't back in Judah, Jerusalem. They were in captivity. But even in captivity, even in a foreign land, these boys said, we're not bowing. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a foreign land. Hello? This could never be my home. I am just a passing through. My home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? We are here and we are living here, but this is not my final destination. One day I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live in heaven, that city not built with hands, four square forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I'll tell you, one day we will, when Jesus calls us out and the rapture happens, we will look back at this earth and say, bye-bye, world, bye-bye. And I don't know about you, but I've had just about all this world I can take. I'm not happy about anything that's going on in this world. I'm ready to exit stage right, amen, and get out of here when Jesus calls my name. But we're living in a foreign land. And even in a foreign land, you know what we should do? We should live for Jesus Christ. We should not compromise what we believe. Amen. We should stand fast on this Word of God. Most of you believe this King James Bible. Probably all of you believe this King James Bible. Amen. But I'll tell you what. I'd a lot rather see somebody practice this King James Bible than just believe it. We have a lot of people that believe it, wave it, stand on it, shout over it. But when it comes to practicing it, they're 100 miles from it. Hello? I'm telling you, without holiness, no man shall see God. And this book is full of holiness and holy living. And we ought not to compromise the things of God that this man's taught you and other men have been through here and preached. We ought not, like the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we ought not to let them slip. Amen. I'm telling you what, these boys were in a... I can give you the name of four people that were in a compromising situation and compromised. Abraham did. Amen. I mean, he got down there in Egypt, type of the world. And what did he say about his wife, Sarah? His sister. He compromised. Talk to me, church. I can tell you another guy that did. Lot did. Lot was a saved man in our sense of the word. Amen. I mean, he got to looking at them well-watered plains. Well, he got to looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And he got to lusting after it. And he got to wanting it. I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. There is something that's more important than a dollar bill. You know what's more important than a dollar bill? Being in the will of God. That's more important than anything in your life is being in the perfect will of God. I'm going to say this, brother. I know you're moving out here, and I'm not trying to pick on you. You understand that? This is in the message, and I'd say it. But anybody that moves away from their church ought to make sure there's a good, independent, Bible-believing, amen, King James-only church. That'd be the first thing you'd look for. Amen. I said amen. I don't care if, I'll make 20,000 more a year. Don't matter. The most important thing is you in a good Bible-believing church where you're going to get fed and you're going to hear the word of God. And if there ain't one up there, bud, let me tell you, you out of the will of God. If there ain't one there. Somebody say amen besides me. You say, you get right down to it. Amen. Why skip around? I've seen so many people get out of God's will for a little bit more money. There's something more important than money. That's being in the center of God's will. Now, if it's God's will for this man to go, we'll bless you and pray for you and thank God for it. Amen. Amen. But don't you think just because, amen, that somebody can make a little bit more convenient that that's the will of God. I've seen too many do it, Brother Piet. I've seen too many get out there. Well, you know, the grass is greener over here. You know what I found where the grass is the greenest at? Right over a sewer. That's where the grass is the greenest, right on top of a commode. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, friend, Lot got to lusting after the things of the world, and he compromised and left. Hey, what about Solomon? Solomon got to loving the women of the world. You know where it took him? Right out of the will of God. The Bible said them women that he fell in love with took his heart away from God. Let me say something to you and you and you two young ladies sitting right there. Any other single girls in here? You and you and you single boys that are at the age where you have started to look at girls and you realize they are pretty. Amen. There comes a time when you used to kick girls and now you want to kiss girls. That's a good thing. I don't think you ought to kiss them, but we're glad that you're noticing them and not some boy. But let me tell every one of you this. It'd be better to marry someone that was homely, someone that might not be the beautiful thing in the world, but loves God and wants to serve God, and it's the will of God for your life, that believes like you do. You remember this church? Then you ought to marry an independent, Bible-believing, King James-only Baptist boy. Not a Southern Baptist, help me. Not an American Baptist, not a United Baptist, but an independent, Bible-believing, King James-only Baptist boy. That's what I believe. And anybody else, you can tell them, hit the road, Jack. and don't come back. And I tell you, I know you boys that you got your eye on the woman and you're looking for the Coke bottle figure. Well, man, I'm telling you, by the time you've been married a few years, that Coke bottle will be a 3-liter bottle. You better love a woman for more than her figure. Amen. Somebody say amen there and help me now. I tell you, Solomon got to look at them beautiful women. He didn't care where they was from. All they was beautiful to him. And it took him away from God and he compromised. That's good preaching. Amen. Samson, the Bible said, went down. Anytime you read he went down in the Bible, that's away from God. Jonah went down. Amen. You go down, you're going the wrong way. He got down there and wanted a woman, amen, of Timnath, I think it was. Anyway, wherever it was, it's the wrong woman. And you know what it ended up costing him? His eyes, his strength, and his life. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, you better not compromise. There's some that are, I'm sure, members of this church whose wives don't want to serve God. There could be some here who their husbands don't want to serve God. And if you had to do it all over again, you might be more careful. And you might be more selective in the one that God would want you to have. I'm telling it right. I'm telling it right. I tell you, these boys were in a compromising situation because they were captive in Babylon. They were in a compromising situation because they could lose their lives. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, Brother Eric, if a man came in here with a gun and pointed to your head and said, deny Christ, amen, you'd tell him, fire away. I'm not denying. Shoot me. But if you went to your wife and pointed that gun and looked at you and said, deny. I did this in one church and the guy hollered out, go ahead, shoot her. Wrong answer. And you know, that would be tough. But what about if you went to this sweet little girl and said, now you deny Christ? That's where the rubber meets the road.
Christ is already dead.
I'm telling you, friend, we don't know what we might have to face. I hope every one of you have enough character and have enough Christianity that you'd be willing to lay down your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. They could lose their lives, but even knowing they could lose their lives, they told that king, look here, man, one way or another today, we are out of here. Whether it's by a fire or God does a miracle, we are out of your control today. Man, I like that. I like that. Let me say, not only were these guys in a compromising situation because they were in captivity and because they could lose their lives, but they were in a compromising position because everybody else was bowing. Do you know how hard that is for young people to live for God when everybody around them's not? How many of you young people go to a public school? Anybody in here? Oh my, some of you do. I'm sorry. I wish you didn't have to go to a public school. There's enough building here to start a Christian school. I wish you didn't have to go. And that is going to be the hardest place there is to stand up, amen, and not compromise. Because everybody else is bowing. Everybody's listening to the music. Everybody's got their iPods in their ears. Talk to me. Everybody's messaging on their phone. And I'm telling you what, I preach against text messaging. I'm against it. All I see is, if you want to talk to somebody, you call them. But you know what I learned about text messaging? You can cuss on that thing by changing letters around. And without saying the word, the person who you text to know exactly what you're saying in a cuss word. I've learned some things while I've watched that go on. And so we have kids that are texting people. I'm talking about kids that are in church texting people and using cuss words by flipping a couple letters around, and they say, well, I didn't cuss. I wrote this word. Know what's in your heart. Amen is what counts. It's not what you do with your fingers. I'll tell you what, amen. These kids, these boys here, they listen, everybody else was bowing. Well, my kids have come to me and said, Dad, everybody's doing it. I said, oh no, not everybody's doing it, because you ain't. Plain and simple. Amen. I'll tell you what, and they'd say that, why? Why? And I'd say, because I'm the boss. That's why. Move out, get your own job, live your own place, and you become the boss. But you in my house, I'm the boss. Amen. Hey, this king looked in that fire, and he saw three boys who wouldn't compromise. We better not compromise our Bibles. Say amen. Amen. I don't care. They got the new one coming out, the Geneva Bible. No, it's not King James. The Geneva Bible is a new King James. Just put Geneva on it. Uh-uh. No, we are King James. We're the 1611 crowd. Give me an amen. Don't compromise that. Don't compromise your beliefs. It'll come back to haunt you if you do. Don't compromise your Baptist heritage. I thank God I'm a Baptist. If I find another group that lives closer to this book than my bunch, I'll join it. But right now, the bunch that I run with live closer to this book than any other bunch, and that's why I'm a Baptist. And we have a great heritage that came over here to Plymouth Rock, and I'm not going to compromise my heritage. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's not compromise the blood. It's still the blood. Amen. It's still the blood. Nothing else works. It's the blood of Christ. And let's not compromise, amen, our boldness. Let's be bold for the glory of God. So he looked in the fire and he saw three boys who would not compromise. Number two, he looked in the fire and he saw three boys with courage. I like that word. I tell you, if there's, man, I'm with you, preacher. I want to beat a drum. I want to blow a horn. I want to hit the cymbals. Amen. I want to declare to this world. I want to have courage, amen, to stand for what is right. Amen. And rebuke what is wrong. I am not a floor mat for the world to wipe their feet on. I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we should not let this world intimidate us. We should be intimidating the world. Amen. I'm not afraid to speak out in public. I see something I oppose. I'm not afraid to say publicly that I'm against that. I'm not afraid to look at people if we're in a restaurant and someone's cussing to high heaven and look over and say, please shut your mouth. Amen. I've got enough courage to do something like that. My wife sent by me, my kids by me. I don't hear somebody cussing. Amen. It takes courage. And listen, we don't know what we're going to face. And you better have some courage about you. I'm thinking over there in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is chapter 15. You don't need to turn there. But there's a man by the name of Asa. And the Bible said that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He destroyed all them high places. You know, you do a study of those kings over there in the Chronicles and the kings. You know what you read about them guys? It said he did that which was good and right, but the high places didn't come down. Asa tore the high places down. There must have been something about them high places that kept people wanting to keep them, even knowing they weren't right. It's like the guy that gets right with God about everything except one thing. And they want to keep that one thing where they can always go back to. I have a guy in our church. He's not a member. His family is a member. But he's not a member. He was until we found out he drank. And when I became pastor, I called him in my office. I said, I understand you have a problem with alcohol. And he said, I never have a problem with alcohol unless I'm listening to my rock and roll music. And when I listen to my music, I drink. I said, I got a solution for you. What is it? Get rid of the music. Well, I've done that and I've got it back. Get rid of it again. Get rid of it till you no longer have it, period, in your home. And you know what? He could be a member of our church. He could be a faithful member. He could be a good Christian. But he has that one thing, that rock music, he wants to hang on to. That music that Barry used to be into and I used to be into in the 60s and the 70s. Amen. The stupid, loud, amen, hard metal music. That's what he likes. And he has that always going back to that. And I tell you what, friend, you got to sell out a lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, it all belongs to God. And it takes courage to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes courage to watch, amen, the right things on TV. God knows there's a lot of wrong things on that television. Can I get an amen? Amen. A lot of things Christian has no business watching. I mean, we could start at Desperate Housewives. We could go to every sitcom on TV. I said every one. Three men and a boy or three men and a half boy, whatever that is. We could go down, I got a list of TV shows I don't have with me, but we could go down every one of them and say, we should not watch that trash on TV. Amen. Why, if you watch a football game and you have to look at a commercial of it, that's grieving to me. How about it, folks? It's going to take courage not to have the wrong shows on. It'll take courage not to have the right videos. It'll take courage not to have the music in your house, the rock music, the country music, the contemporary music. It's not right. It shouldn't be in our homes. Get it out. I'll tell you what every church needs. Every church needs a good bath probably once a year. I mean, just a time where, amen, we set out buckets and you bring trash. I'm talking about your music. I'm talking about your DVDs. I'm talking about your junk that don't bring honor and glory to God. We ought to every year have a chance to clean house and get it out. Say amen. Man, I was up in a town over here in Hudson Falls, New York, way out in the middle of nowhere. That young preacher just had that church 7-8 years when I got there, just babies in Christ. And boy, I got to preaching on that, and I said, I want to set out a trash can tomorrow night. And he said, well, we'll get two to set out. I tell you, both of them were full to the max. I'm talking about a 30-gallon tub full to the max. Before we started, stuff was laying on the ground. We said, we need another can. He looked at me and said, I had no idea. I tell you what, man. You got to preach it. You got to clean your home. I'm sure some of you have things in your home that does not bring glory to God. Get it out. It's going to take courage to sell out for God. It's going to take courage to stand for Him. It takes courage to tell somebody to, hey, not to say that. It takes courage to tell someone, hey, I don't listen to that. You teenagers especially, man, hanging around public school kids. I mean, they're all the time wanting to feed you their trash. Takes courage to say, no! I want every one of you young people in here. I mean, you're below the age of 25. I want to hear you say, no! On three. One, two, three. No. That wasn't loud enough. One, two, three. No. That wasn't good enough. One, two, three. No. Here's how some of you are doing it. You ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it. First time someone offers you something to snort up your nose or put in your veins or put down your mouth, you'll say yes. We need to learn to say no.
Go back to the home, brother.
No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not watching that. No, I'm not tasting that. For sure, no, I ain't snorting that. No. It's going to take courage. You hear me, girls? It's going to take courage. You got me, girls? It's going to take courage. Some old boy want to take you out, put his hands all over you. Let me tell you what to do when a boy does that. Number one, parents, what are you doing letting your kids go out with a boy? Unsupervised? That should never happen. Not till after they're married. You take this hand right here. When a boy puts his hand on you inappropriately, you take this hand right here and you put it right here as hard as you can.
Amen.
I was in youth camp a few years ago and I said, we need to illustrate this. So I said, I didn't tell them what I was going to do. I just said, I want the baddest boy in here to raise their hand. Oh, I had a couple of them, man. You know, they strutted when they walked. And I got the biggest one. I said, you come up here. Yeah, man, I'm coming. And then I said, now I need a girl that just loves God. And I found one I knew, pure. Amen. No one ever touched her. And I brought her up here and stood her right here. And I said, now, young lady, this boy right here just touched you inappropriately. And boy, her face turned red. And she looked at me and she said, what'd you say? I said, this old ugly goon right here just touched you inappropriately. She looked at him. She said, you did. And she went, wham! And I'm telling you, spun his head around. I went, glory! That's what you do. Amen. You got that? You want to practice? I'm telling you what, bless God, I'm tired of hearing about our girls, amen, having babies, and, amen, out of wedlock and being just used piece of material. Amen. We need to raise some young ladies that'll stand and say, I'm going to be pure when I get married. And we need some young men that'll say, I'm going to be pure when I get married. Amen. I had a girl tell me one time, she said, well, you know, I might have told this here before. She said, I just want to know if a boy can kiss before I marry him. And I said, so you kiss every boy that you, amen. Oh, yeah, I kiss them all. I said, you know what you are? I said, you are a salt block out in the middle of a cow field. To let every bull come by and take a big lick. Boy, she got mad. You know what? I was right. I hate it, preacher, when I'm right. That girl got married out, amen, got pregnant, then got married, then her, and this was a Christian school graduate. Then this family, another family came, not our church because we put them out. Another family came into that church and they got kind of bad times. And so this couple had this couple move in. I want you, it wasn't long before they was swapping. So they ended up liking the one they was sleeping with better than their own wife and husband. So they got a divorce and married each other's. What are we coming to? And they want the stamp of approval of the church on it. Man, we need some courage, man. Asa got out there in that battle. Man, I'm telling you, the battle came. The Ethiopians were all over him, beating him up. And Asa cried to God, oh, God, help us! And God turned that thing around. And Asa won a great victory. Went back to his palace. The Bible said they had rest for about 10 years. And an old man showed up by the name of Oded. He come in there and he preached to Asa. And he said this, God is with you while you be with him. But if you forsake God, he will forsake you. How do you feel about that, preacher? I say amen to that. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your fellowship with God. The Bible said after Oded got done with that message, the Bible said Asa took courage. You know what Asa did? Asa made a covenant with the people. And I don't know how exactly that all came down, but he said, listen here, people. We're going to make a covenant with God. Here's the covenant. We are going to serve the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. And if we find out that one of you are not serving God that way, then we're going to stone you. I wonder how many you'd have, brother, if you put a piece of paper up there. All right, everybody come sign this paper. Here's what it says. You're going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If by chance you're not here and you're not dead and no good excuse, we're coming to your house and we're killing you. Now everybody come sign it. You might need another building because this is way too big. But you know how those people reacted? Said they shouted. They rejoiced. They played, you know what, they had camp meeting over that kind of a covenant, and they all went under that covenant. That took courage to do that. You know another thing Asa did that took courage? He took all the Sodomites and put them out of the land. I'd love for President Bush in his last few days here, stand up, make a decree. If you're a queer, you're out. Maybe I shouldn't. You might have to edit that. I don't know how you do that here. But if you're a Sodomite, you're out of here. You're not allowed to live in America. Go to Canada. Go to Mexico. But get out of our country. Man, I'd write him in again. Amen. Amen. That took courage for that man to do that. That's what he did. And then you know what took courage? Probably the hardest thing of all. His mama, who was queen, had an idol. And he got wind of it. And he went to his mama. And he said, "Mama, you are no longer queen. Get out." Took courage to tell his mama that. You know, my mama's about this tall. She's 80, almost 82 years old. Just a short little old thing. I mean, I remember in high school, she grabbed me. I was a big old boy like this in high school. Played football. And she grabbed me and go to shake me. And I'm just standing there. And sometimes her feet would leave the ground and she'd be shaking like a wet horse rag. And I'd just be standing there taking it. And finally she'd stand down. And you understand? Yes, Mom, I understand. Remember one day we had a bomb threat at our school. I was a senior in high school. We had a bomb threat at our school. And after the bomb threat was over, I just decided to go home. Me and my buddy. She worked in that same school I was, and she came looking for me. Something told her to come look for her little boy. Well, she knew where I was supposed to be, what class I was supposed to be in, and I wasn't there. And I got home that night. I was there the whole afternoon. She comes in. She didn't call me. She just walked in. My sister and dad were in the living room. She said, "Where were you after the bomb threat?" I said, "Well." She said, "I come looking for you." Now, I'm 18 years old. She said, "You weren't in school." I said, "Well, Mom, man, a bomb threat. I thought the school was going to blow up, and I didn't want to be there for that." She said, "You know better than that. Don't you lie to me." And she'd say, "Get that fly swatter off the top of that refrigerator." She couldn't get it. By this time, my dad and sister are laying in the living room floor laughing. She looks in there, "Both of you to your bedroom now." They both went. She was on the box, buddy. And I got the thing down and she whooped me about three times with it. I said, "All right, Mom, that's good." And I stuck it back up there. But I respect my mama. How many of you still have your mama? I tell you, I respect my mama. I love my mama. But I tell you, he had to tell his mom, "Get out. You're no longer queen. Hit the road." That took courage to do that. How are you going to make it without courage? Sometimes it takes courage to tell your kids, put them in their place. Sometimes it takes courage to do the right thing. We need courage. Can I give you the third thing and then we'll go? I'm going to say the king looked in that burning fiery furnace. He saw three men with courage. He saw three boys who would not compromise. And the last point is, he looked in that burning fiery furnace and he saw three boys with a companion. Somebody told me one time, somebody who had a Bible school degree, and said this, you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. I said, "You can't." "No." I said, "What about all them places where Abraham said God will provide himself a sacrifice?" Nope. It's just a type. And I thought, well, what about where this king looked down in there and said this fourth man looked like the very Son of God? Well, now who is the Son of God? Jesus. I said, Jesus. And as far as I could tell, this was probably the only time that he ever revealed himself to a heathen king. But he did. You know what's amazing about that? That king, he looked down in there and said, "Hey! Whoa! Hey, boys, how many did we throw in there?" Three, O king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, but there's a fourth man in there who looks like the very Son of God. Get him out, get him out. And those boys are down there. You know, I just kind of think when they went down there and said, you boys come out, I think those boys said, I'll leave us alone. I mean, they was in the fire, and who got in the fire with them? Man, I tell you, how much better could that be? Could it get any better than that? Get in the fire, and who's with them? Jesus is? That's probably kneeling down, worshiping the Lord. I mean, there wasn't no smoke on them. There wasn't no fire on them. God performed a miracle right before their eyes. And they said, and they had to come out. Well, three went in and three came out. But where'd that fourth man go? He's still in the fire. So like I said this morning, when you get there, you'll have a companion. I believe with all my heart, ladies and gentlemen, that if we will not compromise, and that we will take courage when the fire comes, he'll be there with us. I'm done with this. These three boys could have bowed. Been real easy for them to. Well, they could have maybe just turned away from that idol and maybe just scratched their knees. And that might have made everybody think they were bowing. But I believe these boys stood on their tiptoes. Hey, look over here. Hey, we ain't bowing. Look at us, CNN. Take a picture over here. We ain't bowing. But I often thought, if they would have bowed, if they would have knelt down before that idol, why, this chapter probably wouldn't even be recorded. And they would have missed the miracle that God wanted to do in their lives. I wonder, have you missed a miracle that God wanted to do by compromising? By not taking courage? By doing it your way? You know, as Frank Sinatra sang that song, My Way, I know the man that knew Frank Sinatra. And he knew him very well. He went to his house on numerous occasions, a good friend of his. And he went in to witness to him, and Frank always said, no, I'm not interested in that. But Frank Sinatra's last two words, the way this guy told it that knew him, his last two words was, I lost. I mean, a man that had everything, had all the money, had all the women he wanted. But when he died, he said, I lost. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't want to say I lost. I want to be there. If we have to go through something, then God help us that he'll be there with us when we have to go through it. And I don't want to miss the miracle. I have seen miracles. I have witnessed miracles. Yes, sir. And I don't want to compromise, and I don't want to let down and miss what God would have for me. How about you tonight? How many of you tonight would say, man, I've compromised. I've let up. I've backed up. I let down. How many of you would say, man, I need some courage. I need more courage. Man, I tell you, it takes courage to pastor, man. Evangelism was a piece of cake. You go in and yell at people, call them everything in the book, and leave town. Now I'm calling them names and staying there with them. And they don't all appreciate that. It takes courage to stand up and tell the truth. But I want to be found faithful to tell the truth to people. Amen. And not compromise what I believe. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.